Welcome to this first Sunday of our second lockdown. I call your attention to Psalm 118. My mind was first drawn here by the words of verse 24, which are most appropriate for the Sabbath day, which says, "This is a day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." But of course, there's much more in the psalm than just that. And what I want to do is to give you a bird's eye view of the whole chapter. Verse 1 to 5, there is a confession of the goodness of God. The words are repeated, "His mercy endureth forever," and the call is given, "O give thanks unto the Lord." Then in verse 6 to verse 18, we have the psalmist's courage in the greatness of God. He says, for example, in verse 6, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me?" Later on in this section, he talks about his enemies compassing him about, but he says again and again, "In the name of the Lord, I will destroy them." He goes on to say, "The Lord has not given me over to death, and again, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord." So you have a confession of the goodness of God, verse 1 to 5, courage in the greatness of God, verse 6 to verse 18. And in verse 19 to 27, you have a celebration of the gospel of God. The key verse here is the verse that Christ quoted in reference to himself in the New Testament as the Saviour. Psalm 118 verse 22, "The stone which the builders refused is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvellous in our eyes." And then the day of resurrection follows. "This is a day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." And in the end of the psalm, in verse 28 and 29, you have a commitment to the glory of God. The psalmist affirms, "Thou art my God, I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee." And he encourages others to engage in the same business. He says, finishing the psalm as he started it, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." There's too much in this to take in one message, so we're going to consider in the first place the first five verses, a confession of the goodness of God. You know, we have good cause to acknowledge God joyfully because of what he is and what he has done, what he continues to be and continues to do. His enduring mercy shows us his unchanging goodness. Four times over in these verses we read, "His mercy endureth forever." And that is true, of course, in the experience of Israel nationally, according to verse 2. In the experience of Aaron domestically, verse 3, the house of Aaron is made reference to. It's true for believers generally because verse 4 says, "Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever." And for the psalmist, it was true for him personally. He knew God's mercy. He says, "I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place." Now, in respect of mercy itself, it's from the Hebrew word chesed, which means pity, good deed or loving kindness. And its first occurrence in the original Hebrew is in Genesis 19 verse 19 and in the confession of Lot, who the Lord had rescued from the cities of destruction. This is what he said to the Lord's face, "Behold now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life." God's mercy is first seen in his saving our life, giving us life, then saving that life and redeeming it by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the fact of Israel's being spared and its life continuing and the house of Aaron being maintained and those that fear the Lord surviving all that threatened them is proof positive of the undeserved favour of God. He loved Israel, he loved Aaron, he loves those that fear him, just because he would. They live, because he purposes they should live. They are saved because he has purposed that they should be saved. The God in whose hand our breath is owes us absolutely nothing, yet his mercies are new to us every single day. It is not unreasonable then, but wholly natural, that we should confess him and thank him. Note the repeated exhortation, let Israel now say, let Aaron now say, let them now that fear the Lord say. We should not allow anyone to hinder our confession of the goodness of God, nor should we allow ourselves to be slow of the mark to say, his mercy endureth forever. There is a promptness implied by the word now, and the counting of one's blessings fuels the fire of praise. When we count our blessings, we begin to truly appreciate what God has done for us. And we will, without hesitation, therefore, thank him. Let Israel, the house of Aaron, those that fear him, now say that his mercy endureth forever. It will encourage us to know that God's mercies are not momentary, but eternal. And these words, endureth forever, mark out the power and perpetuity of divine mercy. When we think of enduring, we think of something that is tested, but survives intact and strong. So there is no power that can make the mercy of God less than it is. It is as mighty as Jehovah himself. Human patience wears thin. Human pity may dissipate by constant abuse. But here is a notable wonder. God's mercy towards his loved ones is always the same. It endures forever. Not that his goodness can be abused without consequence. Our sins, our shortcomings, our backslidings will undoubtedly bring chastisement. And yet still divine chastisements are not so much a punishment as a mercy, because they're intended for our growth in grace. Verse 18 of the psalm says, the Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over to death. Hebrews 12:6 reads, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. The mercy of the Lord, which we are to confess before men, endures in life, in death, and in the world to come for all who are his. But they only are his, and they only can lay claim to this who willingly receive his mercy, recognizing their unworthiness. Listen, mercy would not be mercy if it was deserved, but it is found in its totality in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8 verse 32 says about gospel mercies, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Temporal mercies are one thing, gospel mercies are quite another. And only by gospel mercies are we fit to live and die. Have you received them? Have you called upon the name of the Lord? Are you saved? Do you know God's mercies in Jesus Christ? Then give thanks unto the Lord. Praise him continually, openly, and unashamedly. Let nothing stop you. Praise him. Joseph Addison expressed it well in his hymn, when all thy mercies, O my God, my rising soul surveys, transported with the view I'm lost in wonder, love, and praise. When the psalmist confessed the goodness of God here, he showed the cause of his thankfulness. And the cause of his thankfulness, of course, was answered prayer. He said, I called on the Lord in distress, and he answered me. Now, we ought not to crave trials. Trials are going to come to us anyway. But we can thank the Lord that in times of distress and trial, we can prove his mercy. Spurgeon was so right when he said, prayers which come out of distress generally come out of the heart, and therefore they go to the heart of God. Prayers, my friend, that go to the heart of God are answered beyond what we can ask or think. So the psalmist was in dire straits, but when he prayed to the Lord in his distress, he says, God has set me in a large place. John Gill writes, this verse may be rendered, the Lord answered me largely. And the Lord can answer our prayers beyond what we ask or think, simply because his mercy is immutable and it endures forever. Seeing as the mercy of the Lord endureth forever, you and I may draw on it continually and have a continual song in our heart and an irrepressible testimony. I love the words of A.B. Simpson's hymn. The mercy of God is an ocean divine, a boundless and fathomless flood. Launch out in the deep, cut away the shoreline, and be lost in the fullness of God. Launch out into the deep, oh let the shoreline go. Launch out in the ocean divine, out where the full tides flow. Get into the mercy of God today. Cry upon his name and ask him to show you that mercy, and do it every day, and every day you'll have a song, every day you'll have something to say, every day you'll be able to give God thanks. May the Lord bless his word to you, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.